Hi, you're listening to Ann Mish, City Clerk for the City of Muskegon on the Watch Us Go Talk of Muskegon. We'll be giving you some information on, and today we have our County Clerk, Nancy Waters, with us in the house. Hi.
Hi there, Ann. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, we're so excited to have you here. And just before we get going here, I just wanted to ask, now, the County Clerk, is that an elected position or what?
Yes, the County Clerk is an elected position. It's a four-year office, and in fact, I'll be up for re-election, but all county clerks in the state of Michigan will be up for re-election this year.
It's a little bit different than a city clerk. I always tell people I'm blessed because I don't have to run for election because I always say I'm not electable. That's I'm appointed.
You'd be very electable. No. And let me tell you that there are some city clerks in the state of Michigan, like in Lansing and that, where they are elected.
Yes, there are. There are some. I'm very fortunate. Again, not elected. But Nancy, you have to run every year or every four years. Every 4 years for your office. So that's a tough job. I know that. And you've been very successful. How many terms have you been there now?
This is my second term, and prior to that, I was two terms as county commissioner.
Wow, so you have a lot of experience running for office.
It's always experience that gets changed with legislation, and you're always learning.
That's right. We do know that. Now, the county clerk has office has gone through some changes over the years.
Yes, we did. In fact, people used to come to us when they moved us out of the Hall of Justice across the street to the Baker College area, where we were there for 3 years. We're now back in the Hall of Justice. A lot of people now see the jail out there. Parking is really hard to get to us.
So the Hall of Justice is actually where the jail is located, correct?
The big jail.
People always know where the jail's at.
That's right. And when they come in, we're on the first floor for that type of service, marriage licenses, birth certificates.
All the important documents.
Like
yes.
But then on sixth floor is where I'm clerk of the court, and that's where circuit court records is.
So you actually have two offices there.
Two offices.
You have a lot of responsibilities going on.
The county clerk and the city clerk always have
us. Oh, but you have, let me think, you have, you said death certificates, right?
Death certificates.
Marriage licenses.
Marriage licenses. Birth certificates.
Oh, yeah. Those are, yeah. And you still, you run the elections for the whole county as well. You are the one who oversees all of it.
And up on the sixth floor, I'm the clerk of the court, which means that everything is filed in circuit court records, whatever it is, if it's a divorce, if it's a lawsuit, if it's criminal, if it's civil, everything is filed, so I'm the clerk of the court.
Oh, my goodness.
But I love my job, and it's exciting because every day I get to help people.
That's right. Oh, now, with jury, how, you know, I'm always asked, in fact, I got three letters, I think, in the last 5 years where I've been called for jury selection. How exactly do people get picked for jury duty?
Well, what's interesting is I have some that call up and ask if they can apply. And I tell them, or that they'll volunteer.
Can they take my space?
And we tell them, no, that what happens is every spring, every county clerk in the state of Michigan receives from the Secretary of State a disc. That disc is a very confidential disc. We have to sign, each of us receiving it, have to sign a statement that we will not use it for anything other than the jury process. Uh-huh. Because it has the name and the address, that type of information, not if they have tickets or anything like that, from the Secretary of State for driver's license or state IDs.
Okay.
And so everybody sitting in the room, I usually will say you're here because your name was on this list. So if you don't have a driver's license or a state ID, let me know. They never said, no, that's not me, until 3 weeks ago when this young man evidently was on the list. He turned 18, had a moped, and I guess had to have some kind of license for that.
Oh,
but
so he got 18. Selected?
No, we excused
him. You did excuse him. Aww. All right. So it is a random choice, then?
It's always random. Uh-huh. And we start out with telling them usually to pick about 30,000 people, go through it and randomize it, and we start again sending out the first notice. And that first questionnaire helps us sort through, are you going to be eligible? Did you serve last year? Are you 70 or older? The 70 today is probably what 50 years of age was years ago, because seldom do we have people saying, please excuse me permanently because I'm 70 or over. Right. You know, they want to serve.
Right.
But there's other things that they are able to be excused for. Now, nursing moms get to be excused,
okay.
but they have to give us a slip. And a few months ago, two women showed up with these little babies, and I assume they were nursing moms. Other things are certainly, if you have a felony, if you've been convicted of a felony, you're not allowed to serve.
Okay.
And if you have some permanent types of health issues, we get a doctor's slip, and then you're disqualified.
Okay. All right.
But we try to keep it as broad as we can, because the whole purpose of jury is to have diversity.
Right.
Men, women, young, old, black, white, brown, you know, and it's really amazing that I'm seeing more and more of the diversification
right.
of jurors when they get ready to go into the courtroom.
I was lucky enough to actually serve on a jury at one time, and I thought it was fascinating, the whole process, and it gives you a new respect and a new perspective when you actually get to sit on a jury pool and make those decisions.
Well, I commend you, because I know you're a very busy person. And most of them will say, I'm too busy. Please excuse me. So
no,
thank you for your service.
It was interesting, definitely interesting. So how do you notify them?
You know, there's a scam going around right now. I just happened to see it on the Supreme Court website.
Okay.
And they were saying that never do we call anybody saying that you didn't show, you have to pay a fine. That's a scam. What we do is everybody gets letters, and years ago in the 1990s, you used to have a 1 month service, and the board took it down to a 1 week service.
Okay.
And I can remember one time only when there weren't enough jurors that showed up, and the judge asked for the list, and they dispatched the police from the sheriff's department to pick them up. But generally, they are notified in writing. They're given a schedule, and then they have to call every night for that week.
Right.
And so then they're done with their service.
So it is pretty important, though, that they call.
It's always important that they call every night. And I even remind them, now remember, just you were picked today or you're here today, we have 6 judges
right.
that we're picking for. So today might be Judge A and tomorrow Judge B. So we never know what our needs are going to be. And we remind them for that week that they have a 1 week service.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned parking, and I know that parking is a little different now at the county building. Where do jurors park?
You know, what's happened is the county, I've said to them, this is such an important duty around looking for parking. And so what we do is we send them a map. It's color coded each month.
Use it helpful.
For non-jury service.
Right.
But we have a place behind keys lock there for overfill.
Yep.
But when they're called in early, then they also take the parking where the visitors and employees
in the circle lot there, or the...
No, on the other side there of Pine.
Yes, on Pine Street there. Now, there's another service that I know that your office does, and it's that a lot of us have heard about, and those are those hours.
You know, I was to see that this county averages between 1,200 to 1,600 PPOs.
Now, when and PPO, that's
personal protection order.
Okay.
And generally, when this was first enacted, who had been beaten up by their spouses, abused in that type of situation. But I can tell you now, in looking at a lot of these cases, it's clearly getting out of hand. And it's getting out of the hand to be detrimental to the general person. Now, we always want to protect people.
Yes.
So we always want them to come up and get a PPO, a personal protection order, for their safety and protection. But the person that's then accused and found guilty and is given a order to stay away from that person, that's on that person's record forever and ever and ever. And they're never going to be able to wipe it off. And you never want something like that on your record, because I've seen landlords up checking the records and not letting them rent apartments. I've seen schools prohibiting them from colleges from coming in. And the thing is, I'll go into a school, I'll say maybe they're eighth graders. How many of you have a PPO? Because we're even seeing it in the juvenile area now. Right. Although juveniles are not allowed to take one out, they can have an adult come and help them.
Okay.
One time we had a situation at one of the schools, and the grandmother was told to bring the sixth grader up and take a PPO out against this person on school time where the kids were fighting. Now, I thought those were things that the schools did. But PPOs are one thing that are there to help protect you,
right,
but shouldn't be abused, and we're going to have to look at how we start to get this under control.
How does one file for a personal protection order?
Well, they file by coming to the third floor family court. Mm-hmm. And if it's a domestic is usually with between a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend type of situation. The legal advocate, which is a grant-funded agency through Every Woman's Place on the fourth floor, they help them fill out the papers because sometimes people coming are so traumatized that they can't even think straight. We also have non-domestic, and it was really funny because one day I had a 68-year-old woman and a 72-year-old woman filing against each other, fighting over a man. So I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. And then one time
every
we had
different.
A person come in and they said, I'm the clerk of the church and we have a former member and we were wondering if every member of our church can take a PPO out against that individual. And we said, absolutely, but everyone has to show and come up here. And it's not an easy process because once you file, we draw a judge. It's then you go before the judge. The judge listens to the issues in that and determines. And then if he grants it or she grants it, then we notify the police department or we put it on lien so that you're somewhat protected. I know that we take them very seriously because we never want to open the paper or listen to the radio and hear that someone got shot. Or blown.
No, absolutely not. And we do hear those tragedies all the time, don't we?
We sure do, and we want to prevent
them. Right. We want to use it for the right reasons. So then you have this free veterans photo ID that you offer, too?
You know, the county clerk is the custodian of all these records. They're all permanent. You never get to get rid of them.
You must have a great filing system over there.
Never, ever, ever get to get rid of them. And I said, we had a situation where a gentleman passed away and his spouse came to our office, and evidently she could be getting a discount if she showed that her husband was a veteran through the...
Okay.
So she said, do you have his DD-214 on file?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the discharge papers for retirees.
Right.
And as I understand, once you're discharged... They
from the military.
From the military, yep. They tell you, go to your county clerk and file this. I had asked the staff, I said, well, what's the oldest DD-214 we have on file? 1865.
Oh, now, can people come in and look at those records?
No, they're confidential records, and the only ones that get to see them, in fact, the spouse can't come in and get the husband or wife's record if they're living. If they've passed away, they can bring in the marriage license showing that they were married to this individual, and then we can give it to them.
Okay.
But what I saw happening was with Iraq and with Afghanistan and all of these, I wasn't seeing new types of DD-214s coming on file, and probably even the Vietnam Veterans War. So I said to the staff, what can we do to try to get these on file? Because it's devastating when the spouse comes at the time of death. They're already grieving, and we don't have that. And I said, let's see about giving them a free pictured ID. Some other counties had been doing it. And I'll tell you, it's just amazing because they come in, they wear their little hats because it's not like passports.
Uh-huh.
We get to encourage them to come in if they have a T-shirt saying they're a Vietnam veteran or if they have a hat saying Navy. And we even had a gentleman, 82 years old, come in. He could still get into his original Army uniform.
Oh.
And he came in. He was just thrilled to be able to have that. And then we put the little seal of what service they were in, if it was the Marines or Navy or Army or whatever. And what's really exciting is for us, we now have that DD-214 on file. And I think what's happening today is that we're moving so much that I tell everybody, it doesn't matter if you lived in 8 places, put it in all 8 places so that your family can find it. We did find this particular DD-214 over in Ottawa County.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we found it was, I said, now, when he got out of the service, before he married and moved to Muskegon, where did he live or where would he have gone? And they said, probably Ottawa. And they checked with Ottawa and it was there. But this, you know, and we haven't done a lot of publicity on it. Uh-huh. It's been by word of mouth. And we had a minister in a couple of weeks ago and he said, I said, how did you hear about this? And he said, one of my members pulled his out and showed it to me. Oh. And he said, I'm going right down and get one. And we're seeing women come in from the military. And if they don't have their original DD-214 available to them, then what we do is we give them paperwork. We're not competing with the veterans. It doesn't replace the veterans office that provides a very valuable service to them here in the county.
Right.
But it's in addition for us to be able to get these DD-214s. And I think at last count, we had given out over 500 of them.
Oh. Now, can you tell everybody what the benefit of having a DD-214 is?
Well, first of all, I understand, and I don't want to be the actual person telling them. And when you said on the DD-214, they tell me that certainly when you are deceased, you will get a discount for...
And that's what I understood,
the
for funerals, services.
And funeral services.
Yes, yes.
And also you have to have that to prove you were in the service.
Right.
So that at the cemetery, having the little military sign there placed for you.
So help your families out and have this information on file with the county clerk.
And our office is open Monday through Friday, regular work days, including through the lunch period from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Right.
But I think once anybody comes in and gets one and then they show it to their neighbors or they show it to their cousins or relatives, then we have more coming in.
Right.
So.
Now, Nancy, you have so many things that you cover in your office. And I know that another one, because they come to our office a lot, and by mistake, we easily get confused, city clerk, county clerk, and we always say you need to walk across the street. When they're looking for a concealed weapons permit.
You know, this has been an interesting change for us because for years and years and years, there was always a gun board. And that gun board by law consisted of a member from the state police, a member from the sheriff's department, and the prosecutor's person. And lo and behold, the law said that the prosecutor shall be chair of the gun board, and the county clerk shall clerk that gun board. And so for years and years and years, that's the way it always operated. And what would happen is the person would come into our office, they would fill out the state application, we would take it before the gun board. The gun board was an open meeting where people could come in and listen and watch and everything. And they'd be pretty tough on you. You know, when they're considering whether or not you should have a concealed weapons permit, and this was even before all the rash of shootings and things taking place.
Sure.
They were very vigilant on checking their databases on what kind of records. Did you have this? Did you have this? Did you, you know. So no longer, as of December 1st, no more gun boards.
No more gun boards. So what do you do now?
So now what happens is the individual comes to our office. They're on the first floor. They apply, but before they can apply, they have to go take the class. And we recommend they look in the Yellow Pages for a place where they can go take the class.
Mm-hmm.
They come into our office after taking the class, learning the laws, doing some shooting. They come in with their application, and now the state police is the one, they're the group that's going to review the application. We accept it at the counter. We look at their certificate, make sure that their certificate has everything on it.
Is there a background check that they do? Or
we don't, and then they have to, if it's a new one, they have to be fingerprinted.
Okay.
And now the law allows them to go anywhere to be fingerprinted. Before, it used to say only the sheriff, local sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a little sheet ready because we have a lot of applicants who work in Ottawa County, Grand Haven,
certainly,
Kent County, and they can't get here before the Sheriff's Department closes, so now they're able to go there. It's an expensive type of situation. It's a five-year application, $105, and then we have the renewal. After 5 years, we're required to send you notification, but we have seen an increase in applications since the gun boards have been eliminated, so that's something that's available. And that one we do cut off at 4:30 because we have to process the paperwork and have to give them an oath of office that everything on their application is true and things
certainly
like that. And then we have 45 days. Okay. And if we haven't heard from the state police in 45 days, then we automatically have to issue it to the individual.
Oh. All right.
The law requires no handing it out. We have to mail it to them, again, keeping and protecting the confidentiality.
Okay, so you can't give it to them if they come to the counter? You can't hand it to them?
No, can't give it to them. And, in fact, we're very careful that on our envelopes, we don't say concealed weapons permit or anything that would identify it, because we don't want their postman to even know that they're getting one. It's a very highly confidential type of situation. Yeah. But it's a new service, and it's different. And I suspect that come spring and summer,
you're going to be busy.
I'm amazed at the number of women coming in.
Uh-huh.
Lots of women coming in, so that means they're learning how to shoot, or maybe they already knew how to shoot. But that's a new type of situation that we have going on, and we welcome them to come anytime. The other thing, Ann, is a lot of the information that we've talked about, they could go to the county clerk's website and get all of the information on how to do this or how to do that.
So if you look up Muskegon County Clerk, you'll come up with a website?
Mm-hmm. They'll go to our homepage, and that then they can just look to see.
Right.
And I'll tell you, another thing we're trying to do is get more sophisticated with these smartphones and with everything that they have today. We don't even want them to have to come to our office now. Some things require, like, for instance, birth certificates and things like that. But we're trying to make it even easier for them to get more things done online.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about parking. But that won't be the case ever with jury or some of these other things that we do.
So what is your office number, though, if people do have questions?
The office number there is 724-6221.
There you go.
Yes. You know, I never call.
I know. So you never have to call yourself, do you? Yeah, I know it. I know it.
But we're always willing and always there. Now, some people will complain that we don't answer it on the first ring. When we're not answering it on the first ring, it's because we're at the counter assisting people that come in. We have a new wonderful birth certificate service that we are so happy, because we're one of the few counties selected by the state registry to be able to promote this, and that is that some individuals don't have their birth certificates on file at the county for one reason or another, but the state has it.
Right.
In the past, what's happened is you had a choice to drive to Lansing that day,
yes,
be there and wait to get it, and then drive back, and with gas as expensive as
mine is at the state. I didn't know that until a lot older in life, that when I went to go get it over there, I thought it was going to be easy, and it wasn't.
And most people, if we have it on file, they walk in and out of no time, excuse me.
Oh.
But I can tell you that now what we're able to offer them, they come in and we say, we don't have it here. Would you like us to check to see?
Right.
The state has it. Would you like us to order it for you? It'll take about 25 minutes to an hour. And sometimes when they start to grumble, there is a cost of $34 plus the regular fee for the certificate. When they grumble, I say, well, you have a choice. You can either drive to Lansing, and you know, when gas was $4 a gallon, or if it was winter and the roads were like they were yesterday, who wants to drive to Lansing?
No.
Or you can send it by mail and wait 2 weeks. But the real alternative, and I've never had anybody walk out, they're thrilled to be able to wait an hour. State sends it through to us. We print it. They pay. They're out of there.
Right.
And they have that as a new name.
Very convenient.
So it's a new way. Not every county given that opportunity, but they came in back in August. They spent a whole day training all the staff before the state would let us do it. They said, we have to train you, we have to see. And
is this a pilot program or is it permanent?
The pilot program had been with about four counties.
Okay.
And Bay County was one of those. And she said to me, the clerk there said, if you ever get the chance, you'll love it.
Want that.
And for Muskegon County, with the weather now, this hasn't been as bad a winter as it has been. But who has time and who has money when you need these services right now?
Now, how much, if you don't have to go through all of that and you're just going in to pick up a birth certificate, how much is a birth certificate?
You know, it's $15 for a certified copy.
Yes.
We don't make any photocopies.
Right.
And the reason why we're not allowed to give them a photocopy is because they could change the date. They could change maybe the father's name or the mother's name. In fact, we just had the state contact us a month ago, and they were doing an investigation on fraud. and they were requiring this and this and this from us. Mm-hmm. Because we're required, when anybody comes in, we're required by law to have them fill out a form with their name. We have to see a pictured ID, and the driver's license has to be listed or whatever. We're required to keep that on file for 1 year.
Okay.
And then after the year, we can shred it. But during that year, if anything comes up, any suspect of fraud or things like that, then we
may be contacted
by the state.
Wow. Okay, so not only do you have birth certificates, you also have death certificates. Now, how can somebody pick up a death certificate?
Oh, and one thing I wanted to tell you about the birth certificates.
Yes.
You know, within the first 30 days of a new mom
coming
in, they're usually told, go to the county clerk. So many people think these little ceremonial...
With the little footprint.
Footprints. Do you still have yours?
Oh, yes, of course I do. Yes, and I've got my children's.
Well, it's not really legal.
I know.
And people will come in and they're a little disappointed.
Yes.
That this is not an official birth certificate.
Not.
And the hospital tells them to come see their county clerk in the first 30 days because so many of them have to get on insurance policies or do this or this. And one thing that we've done in the circular parking in the front of the jail and that, I have 4 reserved spots there that say for parents with young children.
Aww.
And can you imagine how it is to carry these baby carriers with these little ones in there from a long way away.
I remember those days.
And so we have 4, it says, for parents with young children.
Aww.
And in order to get those, I was telling the county commissioners, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to get a baby carrier, and I'm going to put 20 pounds of sugar in there, and I'm going to have you see how it feels to walk.
I would have loved to see you tell them that, too, because I know you would.
So we have that on desk, and that... The other thing, I know that everyone's so stretched for money, but I usually can tell that when they're that young, I'm going to see them 2 and 3 more times.
Yes.
And I encourage them to buy 2 for $20
rather
than 1 for $15 and give the second one to a grandmother or someone
else. Well worth it.
And they, you know, I see them back when the baby's born. I see them when they get ready to go to preschool. I see them when they start kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I see them when they start sports.
Uh-huh.
I see them when they have to get their driver's license. I see them when they're getting ready to go work at Michigan Adventureland. I see them when they're going to college. I mean, 7, 8 times I see them.
Yes. Yes.
And they could have saved some money.
They really could have, yes. And you have to mail it in for your passport, too. So if you need it that way,
all
of those reasons, absolutely.
So, and on death certificates, we do the biggest share of the business on death certificates with funeral homes.
Oh, okay.
They're there almost every day. As we have lots of babies being born, we also have lots of people that are passing away.
Okay.
And most of those, these are public records, death certificates. We had 2 women that came in from Mason County the other day. They were in their 80s. They were down there looking for death certificates because they're putting together genealogical books for the grandchildren.
Oh, nice.
And they had come from Mason County to Muskegon County because there were 2 of the relatives who had died in Muskegon County.
Aw. And I know you have a lot of visitors that come in your office that would like to search the records.
You know, every Wednesday we offer free genealogy service. They're there from 1 to 4. Every Wednesday, I mean, I don't care if it's storming. They were there yesterday. They've been there for over 40 years.
Oh.
We see people coming in, especially in the summertime, where they come to Muskegon. It's the first time they've ever been here. And they help them locate the gravesite where they're buried. They do so many things. So people need to start looking at tracing their tree.
That's right. Oh, Nancy, you have so I don't know how you keep it all together. I honestly don't.
Good staff.
Yeah.
And people like you that help us.
We didn't even cover, I know we didn't cover everything that you do in that office.
No.
That would be a whole nother show, I think. But
I think that this opportunity to share with your listeners some of the key things we do, I'm sure there's a listener out there that's going to say, wow, concealed pistol weapons, wow. Next time my letter comes in, I'm going to return it because I want to serve on the jury and I want to be in that box helping to see justice.
That's right.
So the things that we've talked about today, I'm sure that there's a listener out there that we're going to hear from.
That's right. I think you will, too. Well, thank you, everybody, for being with us today and listening to us watch us go. Talk of Muskegon. Until next time.